Heavenly Father, we thank you that according to your word that you are perfecting that which concerns each of your children. Now, please open our eyes, the eyes of our understanding, to hear what you say by your Spirit through your word in this message. In Jesus' name, amen. The following message is taken from a chapter out of the book titled Lie of the Ages. Thou hast been in the garden of God, Ezekiel 28 verse 13, speaking in detail and extensively about Lucifer or Satan. Again, quote, Ezekiel 28 13, thou hast been in the garden of God. The evil one has been thrust down from heaven to the earth for the iniquity found in him. Ezekiel 28. This evil foe who had been ejected by God from heaven's pristine and perfect premises was cast down to the earth and allowed in the sanctuary of the Garden of Eden because God gives men a choice to serve or not to serve him. He created in mankind the gift of free will. Temptation is ultimately the test as to whom the individual will love and serve. For the Lord your God proveth or tests you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Deuteronomy 13 verse 3. The serpent slithered among the lush embellishments of the Garden of Eden. His goal was the fall of the first man and woman who were created in the image of the one who made all things. Satan obviously schemed and strategized as to what weapon to employ in order to accomplish his main objective, which was to cause the first man and woman to fall from grace by sinning and consequently be alienated from the Lord, who is holy, holy, holy. The enemy of souls knew from personal experience that the Almighty keeps his word and casts down those who disobey him. To this point, Adam and Eve knew only perfect righteousness. They did not yet realize what the evil one knew and had already been the recipient of, that is, the judgment of God for his sin. A hard lesson lay ahead for Adam and Eve, and a fallen creation would be left in the wake of their defiance of the holy Lord and his righteous command, which was not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the midst of a garden, Genesis 2:17. The enemy of all souls has not changed, saints. His temptations are, quote, common to man, unquote, 1 Corinthians 10:13. Satan's goal was and is to interrupt and destroy the relationship between his enemy, that's God, and his special creation, mankind. Jesus informed us that the ultimate thief has come to do what? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. John chapter 10 verse 10. This same goal, the fall of man, is still his aim and will be until the Lord himself puts Satan away for good. Revelation 20 verse 10. From the garden to the modern pulpit, the enemy has lied to mankind, namely those who are in right relationship with God in most cases. Satan and his false teachers are the intruders today, the very enemies of the Almighty. The serpent has slithered through the garden path of history, seductively spreading his poisonous seed, causing the fall of many, and now possesses the thoughts and doctrines of an army of deceived men who are in ministry positions. Ever since the garden, the lie of the ages dwells among men, especially in the sanctuary where the Lord is supposed to be reigning, that is, the church world, where supposedly we're worshiping God. But are we really? As in the Garden of Creation, so the enemy specifically concentrates on the sanctuary of his enemy's people. He seeks to molest the purity,
beguiling those who are unlearned. Many times he uses the body of Christ's own leaders, or the leaders who pose as Christ's representatives among the professing church. Today, the pulpits and platforms of modern media are the places that most people simply do not suspect to be the mediums where falsehoods thrive, reside, and flow. They do not see the serpent lurking among the trees in the garden of modern Christian, quote-unquote, pulpits, organizations, and media. Most are not aware of the wolves in sheep's clothing who, like the lurking serpent in the garden, quote, lie in wait to deceive, Ephesians 4, verse 14. As foretold by the prophet Amos, the enemy of souls seeks to alter and remove the word of God from the hearing of God's people. Amos chapter 8, verse 11 prophesied that in the final days there would be a famine, not a famine of bread and water, so much as a famine of hearing the words of God. This is what he did in the Garden of Eden, or Satan. Today, this same enemy uses the most subtle messengers, the ones many people look to for truth, the pastors. The Holy Spirit forewarned us that in these last days before Christ's return, men would not remain in the truth, but rather some shall depart from the faith, and many would corrupt the word of God. 1 Timothy 4, 2 Corinthians 2. And the scripture says, now the Holy Spirit speaketh expressly or specifically that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 and 2. It simply doesn't matter if a leader realizes he is teaching heresy or not. If he is teaching anything other than the word of God, he is a detractor from the glory of God and leading others astray. Men of God are to, quote, preach the word, unquote, and to speak only, quote, as the oracles or the words of God, unquote. 1 Peter 4:11, 2 Timothy 4:2. This is a non-negotiable command to all who would accurately represent the Lord. No matter the reasoning, one will be found a deceiver on Judgment Day if he preaches any other message than the Word of God. One can be sincere and yet sincerely dead wrong at the same time. Let God be true and every man a liar, Romans chapter 3, verse 4. The holy and almighty God told us that he is going to judge all men according to his word, John 12, 48, etc. From the very beginning, from the garden of creation, the beguiler's target has been God's people. Nothing has changed. His message is simple to man, and here it is. You don't have to worry about obeying God. It's optional. You can live the way you choose and still remain in the grace of God, unquote. Does that sound familiar, friends, such as exactly the message of those who teach once saved, always saved, and eternal security? Interesting. It began in the garden out of the mouth of Satan. Through those men, the false teachers of today, he, that is Satan, uses them. Through those men that Satan uses today, the enemy of souls mixes in some truth with his deadly lie of lasciviousness and poisons the whole pond, leading many astray into a false gospel and false sense of security. Perhaps it has been wisely stated that Satan will give you 1,000,000 pounds of truth to blind you with 1 ounce of a deadly lie which will kill you. In order to bring in a lie among God's people, the enemy likes to lead with truth as his smokescreen in order to bring in that deadly distortion and poison behind the cover of truth. The scripture says in Galatians 5:9 that a little, just a little, leaveneth the whole lump. Why should we be surprised that this ultimate enemy of souls still uses the most subtle and unsuspected methods and personalities to communicate his deadly message to God's people? After all, his message still works to cause unsuspecting men to fall out of fellowship with God. Why would we wonder why the evil one still utilizes the same lie that claimed the first man and woman? Has this message not captured untold scores of eternal souls since the Garden of Eden? Are we so blindly naive as to believe that there is no evil or devil? Why would we be surprised to realize that this same evil enemy of souls is ceaselessly in the midst of our garden today, telling this same lie by adding to the word of our Maker? God said, "Thou shalt surely die," and Satan countered with, "You shall not surely die," Genesis 2:17 and 3:4. Friends, that's the origins of the eternal security heresy. It started in the Garden of Eden. Who will you believe, God's truth or Satan's lie? Again, Genesis 2:17 and 3:4 should be carefully compared meticulously by today's disciples of Christ. So, are pulpits more sacred than the very Garden of Eden? Obviously not. There was no sin in the garden until Satan introduced this lie of the ages, this heresy of once saved, always saved. And the man and the woman bought it in the very cradle of creation. The enemy of God initiated and launched this lie that would fatally wound mankind, claiming the souls of men millions throughout the centuries. This exact same deadly lie was picked up, incorporated, and perpetuated by early century church fathers, so-called theologians, whose heresy-laced writings and commentaries regrettably hold great prominence among many evangelicals today, even though they have no reconciliation with the counsel of God, the Word of God, which will be demonstrated throughout this book, the book titled Lie of the Ages. The Bible enlightens us to the reality that Satan is a strategist and has schemes of which believers are instructed not to be ignorant of. Be not ignorant of his devices, 2 Corinthians 2:11. We are in a warfare, a war, and like any good war general and his staff, we are to study to know the nature, weapons, and ways of our enemy. The Apostle Paul informed us that Satan's methods are the same today as they were from the start in the Garden of Eden. Remember 1 Corinthians 10:13, listen carefully, it says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." This is 4,000 years after the temptation in the garden. And Paul writes by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Now that underscores the importance of going back to Genesis 2 and 3 and meticulously studying the temptation in the Garden of Eden. He continues, "But God is faithful," that is, when you're tempted, "who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it," that is, overcome it, not buy into it like Adam and Eve did. In this same text, 1 Corinthians 10, the Lord told us that he makes a way to escape the reused lie, the common lie of the enemy of all souls and his temptations to mankind, as can be clearly seen in Genesis, once saved, always saved, is not a new doctrine, and it's also not the Lord's doctrine. Eternal security is clearly the lie that caused the fall of mankind. This is absolutely irrefutable. This is the doctrine of the arch enemy of the Almighty. As in the very beginning, the unholy serpent himself is still creeping into the homes and gathering places and hearts of believers today and utilizing the same lie to mislead people and cause their fall from grace. The chief wolf himself, Satan, who has come to steal and to kill and to destroy, seeks to devour souls for his kingdom and from the very chief shepherd, Jesus Christ, who is come that we might have life and that we might have life more abundantly. John 10, verse 10. So, saints, beware, and as the scripture instructs us, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5:8. So the first lie led to the fall of the first man and woman and is leading to the fall of masses or many people today who had been once saved. Millions in our day are being taught that they are unconditionally eternally secure. So they are being told that they are unconditionally eternally secure, with the absence, the intentional absence of the truth of the holiness of God before whom they will stand to give account, and his demand that we be made holy as he is holy, 1 Peter 1:16. The pulpits of America have become hijacked by men who have, quote, crept in unawares, who are teaching a doctrine originated by the enemy of all souls and calling it Christian. This is paramount to using the name of the Lord in vain by attaching his holy name to a teaching of his arch enemy. So in tracing the lie, let's consider that the adversary attacked God through his own creation, the garden, the fruit, the serpent, the woman, and the man. Does it intrigue you to uncover the first lie told by the one Christ warned us of, who is the father of all lies, of Satan? Jesus said, "For he is a liar and the father of it." John 8:44. One three-letter word, the word not, N-O-T, changed the course of history. Satan told the woman, "Ye shall not surely die," that is, if you sinned against God. After their maker, our Lord, had told the man and the woman that they would, quote, surely die in the day they disobeyed him. Again, Genesis 2:17 and 3:4. So Genesis 3:4 and 5 says, "And the serpent said unto the woman, quote, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil," unquote. The first and poisonous falsehood, the lie of the ages, is still today the same deadly venom being injected by the evil one in the battle that rages for the eternal souls of men. The serpent infused the first man and woman with this venomous and paralyzing deception, robbing from their hearts the fear of God, which led to their fall from grace. Consequently, a separation was incurred between a holy God and Maker and his creation, with a catastrophic curse which fell due to sin. This unconditional eternal security without condition to the recipient is the very first lie the devil ever told to mankind. And once saved, always saved, or eternal security are simply modern labels or new names for an old repackaged lie, the lie of the ages. In this deception in the Garden of Eden, as well as in our day, Satan craftily convinces people that they have irrevocable security and assurance of heaven, no matter what their actions or choices are concerning the Word of God.
Are they obeying the Word of God?
Are they against the Word of God?
Are they being obedient to the Lord?
The message of eternal security without condition to the recipient is that once one has been born again, he has no responsibility to continue to fully and faithfully obey the Almighty, the one who saved him. Those who sit under this teaching are told that once they have been brought into fellowship with the Lord in his garden of salvation through Christ, they can never, ever, no matter what, die or be separated from God again, even if they blatantly rebel against the Lord. This lie teaches that the person who Christ has saved can then choose to live as he wishes, with no fear of consequences or righteous retribution from the one who is holy, holy, holy. This is the very lie that Satan gave to Adam and Eve, which led to their fall into sin and separation from the Lord. Now, can you see why it is a big score for the enemy of souls when people are told by their misled and intentionally deceived leaders that they are once saved, always saved, quote unquote, no matter what they choose to do, including revolt completely against the Most High and go back to a life of sin? In the sanctity of the garden, where there was no suspicion or sin, Satan intruded. Today, in the sanctuary of the pulpits and the various Christian media, Satan's emissaries are intruding where few suspect them to be. He prospers because so many believe that their leaders are guiding them correctly, and yet do not know and obey the Word of God for themselves. They do not study to show themselves approved unto God, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, and therefore able to rightly divide the Word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. Only those who learn the way of the Lord, the Word of the Lord, can know and can see the enemy's work. Those who do not have a life in the Word of God daily will fall prey to deception and ultimately be destroyed. The Word of God says in Hosea 4:6 that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Jesus said in Matthew 22:29, ye do err, or you go into error, because you know not the Scriptures nor the power of God. Discernment comes from being personally exercised in the Word of God. Hebrews 5:11-14. The new garden, or restored, holy, pristine bliss of the New Jerusalem lies ahead for all of the righteous who endure to the end with Christ. Remember Isaiah 9:6-7 foretold, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this, unquote, Isaiah 9:6-7. The Genesis account of creation and the relationship between the Lord and the first man and woman is an ongoing saga to continue until the hour of Christ's return and the establishment of his eternal kingdom. Amen. Saints, we must always remember that we are given this record, the Bible, in order to know the Lord and to know how He deals with men and who He blesses and who falls under His curse due to their own choice to live in disobedience. From the garden to the holy city, that is New Jerusalem, Genesis 21, from Genesis to Revelation, the war over the souls of men rages. The enemy seeks to reclaim those redeemed by the blood of the one who is the seed of the woman, Genesis 3:15, Jesus Christ, that is, the Messiah. What better way to undertake such an evil mission than to use those shepherds at the helm of the very visible church, those who pretend to represent Christ? God's account of man's creation and fall is not left without a solution from the only one, the Lord, who can remedy his alienation, who can make him whole and redeem him. Holy Writ opens with the creation and fall of mankind and the promised prophetic restoration through the Messiah of all who will come to him and be justified as he prescribes. That's Genesis 3:15, by the way, the first messianic prophecy in the Bible, just after the fall of mankind. Oh, what a loving God we serve. The book of all books ends with a warning to all of us concerning making the very same error that Adam and Eve made, and when they bought into the distortion of his holy words, the words of God, and thereby fell, joining forces with the arch enemy of the Lord. In that passage, as we come in for a close here, is Revelation 22:12-21, which says, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without or outside of the holy city are dogs," that would be homosexuals or sodomites, "and sorcerers," those involved in any form of witchcraft, "and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come, and let him that heareth say, Come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Revelation 22:12-21. Let us say just a couple of more things, and then we're going to close in prayer. Friends, in these final words of Holy Scripture, the very last words of the Bible, Jesus Christ tells us that he is coming quickly to reward all according to each person's works. He says to us that those who keep and do his word will receive blessings and, quote, have right to the tree of life, unquote, in the restored holy city of God, which is spoken of in detail in Revelation 21 and 22. Outside this blessedness will be all who have lived in and justified their sins, no matter what their previous relationship with God might have been. Then, in the very final words of Holy Writ, there is the warning of adding to and taking away from His words. This adding to or removing of the truth of God is done first internally in the hearts of those who do not genuinely love the Lord and fear Him with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Those who love darkness rather than His holy light do not wish to come clean under the light of divine truth. They would rather cover than confess their sin and darkness. This war for the souls of men spans from Genesis to Revelation, and the words of God are pivotal in this most crucial and consequential of battles. It is the battle for the eternal souls of men. Those who play into the enemy's scheme to add unto or take away from God's words of holy instruction will be removed from the book of life. They will be cut out of the holy city and from all eternal blessings. The lake of fire awaits them. Let us pray, dear saints. Dear Lord Jesus, we come to you in your holy name, Father. We come in the name of Jesus and ask you to please purify our hearts and remove all dissimulation and mixture and deceit and compromise. May our hearts be united to fear thy holy name. Please rid my life, dear Lord, of all secret faults and presumptuous sins. Father, in Jesus' name, please grant me the blessing of knowing you in truth and living in your holy light and will. Lord Jesus, please preserve my eternal soul until the day of your soon return in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, friends, remember, this was a chapter out of the book Lie of the Ages. It's 730 pages long, and you are invited to take a look at it on the store page on safeguardyoursoul.com. It's also on Amazon. The title is Lie of the Ages. May God bless you richly, my friends. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.